Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast on Thursday, July the 25th. And our top story is that a man's been charged with attempted murder after a soldier was stabbed near an army base in Medway. 24-year-old Anthony Essen from Mooring Road in Rochester is due in court today, accused of carrying out the attack near Brompton Barracks on Tuesday evening. The victim, who's in his 40s, is still in a serious but stable condition in hospital. Well, local councillor and veteran Chris Spalding has been speaking to Bartholomew from our colleagues at KMTV.
My thoughts are with the victim's family and very much the close-knit military community around. There will be very, very close friends that have served and worked with this soldier who will be suffering a bit this morning and taking it all in. You know, it's a very close community because those that serve, quite often you live in each other's pockets. You're 24/7 eating, sleeping, working together. You go on tour, go on operations, go to war zones. It is very much that extended close family.
I think Medway's known for its long historical link with the armed forces. Do you think that adds to kind of why this has been such a big reaction here especially?
Very much so. You know, we do have, as you say, this massive military heritage. Not just not just army, but also the navy side of it, everything else. And you've got a massive veterans community as well. Lots of people that have served here end up with their service here, and they often stay here or they settle here. And you know, we even had Councillor Gurung last year, wife of a Gurkha, first Nepalese mayor. That's the sort of community we have. It's very, very military orientated. But it's not the only community in Medway. We are very diverse and it's a great place to live, work and, you know, effectively grow up.
Elsewhere today, an Albanian national's been jailed for nearly 10 years for arranging channel crossings to the UK in small boats. The 24-year-old is likely to have been responsible for transporting hundreds of people in 2022 by brokering spaces on boats. Police say each asylum seeker was charged thousands of pounds. He'll be deported once his sentence is over. Dreamland will be allowed to keep their licence despite serious concerns being raised following the death of a teenager at a drum and bass event. 17-year-old Emily Stokes collapsed after a suspected MDMA overdose last month. The theme park in Margate can continue to hold big events with some conditions. They include more stringent drugs checks, further training for staff and a higher number of paramedics at some shows. Now, every council leader in Kent has signed a letter calling on the government to reduce the risk of disruption when the new EU entry-exit system is introduced this autumn. There are concerns the biometric checks at the Port of Dover and Eurotunnel at Folkestone will cause traffic congestion in the county. Leaders are now wanting urgent action to prevent an impact on the food supply chain, local businesses and tourist attractions. I've been speaking to Roger Gough, who's the leader of Kent County Council.
What it sets out is both our assessment of the situation in relation to the entry-exit system and the implications once it's implemented, and then also a series of our asks as to what it is that we believe government needs to do or we need to do together. And some of that is around sharing of information. And it's fair to say these asks have been around for a while. I don't think we're saying anything different here from what we've been saying for many, many months, if not years. So it's around sharing information, what the government calls its reasonable worst case scenario. So we understand or have a shared understanding between national bodies and local bodies as to what the challenges and the risks we all think are. There's also, I think, a need to take a lot of the pressure wherever we can off particularly the Eastern Docks in Dover. That's a very constrained site. Dover Harbour Board is working, the Port of Dover is working to address issues there, but it is very constrained in terms of its physical capacity. There are changes on the way in terms of how the port works and is configured, which indeed we've been supportive of, but they are several years away. So we need to take some of the pressure off that site because the biggest single risk is that if problems overflow at any point of exit, then they're going to spill back onto the highway. And once they spill back onto the highway, we have a knock-on effect, particularly straight away through Dover, but then rapidly actually through many other parts of Kent as well. There's also a lot that government is seeking to do, we know, but we're urging them to continue it and accelerate it in terms of working with the French authorities and also with the European Commission, because there's partly a question of how this is implemented. We know it's like to be in the autumn. There was a date set of October the 6th. Some reports suggesting it may get pushed back a little bit, but not absolutely confirmed yet. But either way, we know it's coming. But there is a question of how it's implemented, how it gives some space for acting differently when pressures arise. Because as I say, we know from past experience, it takes very, very little for everything in East Kent and indeed for Kent as a whole to fall over when there are problems in and around the ports. And this could be a very, very big issue indeed. They were also asking about funding because there are many actions that not only we, but a whole number of other partners are taking to ensure that our highways are in the right state, a whole number of things to deal with what arises from these issues. So those are, I think, some of the big ones. And we are emphasising that, as I say, taking the pressure off the port involves looking, for instance, at some other sites which can actually take some parts of the overall process. The trouble with that is, even if government made some of the necessary decisions now, that's probably not going to come into effect until next summer. But still, the sooner the better. So those are some of the things that we've been raising.
As you mentioned, this certainly isn't anything new. We've been talking about EES for a very long time, but obviously now you're talking to a new government. Does that change things at all?
Well, clearly, ministers have come to this fresh. It's good to see that they are taking it very seriously. We had the roads minister down in Kent last week. I think it was her first visit to any area of the country. So I think a very welcome sign of the priority this is given. We worked a lot with the previous administration, and clearly we worked throughout that with the civil servants who are there and who serve whichever administration. So clearly, there is an opportunity with a new government, and they're going to seek to, we hope, address the issue. But, we work with whatever administration there is in Whitehall and seek to make the case for Kent and for Kent's needs.
It's thought the system will come into force in November.
Kent Online News.
Two men have been arrested following an attack in Maidstone. Police were called to Knight Rider Street and the victim was taken to hospital. A 27 and 32-year-old remain in custody. A pensioner's been pushed to the floor by burglars who stole money and a watch from his home in Longfield. The thieves posed as delivery drivers and knocked on his door in Brickfield Farm Close on Monday night. Investigators are asking for CCTV images of a suspicious silver or gold Renault Clio that was seen in the area at the time. It's emerged a Medway man died after falling into a river basin when he suffered an epileptic seizure while walking his dog. William Britton was found in the water near St Mary's Island in May. The 54-year-old's family have since raised more than £3,500 for an epilepsy charity in his memory. Now, if you regularly travel from the mainland to Sheppey, you're probably well aware the King's Ferry Bridge has been closed recently for major repair work. Of the two bridges connecting the island, this is the one that moves up and down for boats to go underneath, and it also carries the railway. Now, the steel ropes that make that whole mechanism work need to be replaced. Our reporter, Joe Crosley, has visited the site to see how work's going, and he's been speaking to David Davidson, who's the route director for Kent at Network Rail.
We'd originally intended to do this in 2 years' time. And that was the plan that would allow us to plan a little bit better. But we've been checking the ropes, and we've been using a type of X-ray, and the ropes have actually degraded at a much higher rate than we'd expected, which means that if we don't do the work now, the bridge will fail. And if it fails, what will happen is we'll have to close the bridge because we won't be able to lift it for shipping, and then we'll have to mobilise a project team, which will be really difficult. It will mean that the disruption will be much higher, the bridge will be closed for a much longer period of time and cause a lot more disruption. So it was really critical for us to get in now and do the work.
Sure. And what sort of problems have you faced while doing this work, if any?
Yeah, so this is a very bespoke bridge. So there isn't any other bridges like this. We don't carry common spares. Everything has to be fabricated and designed to do this. The structure, there's a lot of manual handling on this. So there's behind us on the pillars, there's six ropes. And on the end of those, we have counterweights, and there's hundreds of counterweights that have to be manually undone, lowered down from the structure. So it's a very a piece of work that's very methodical and takes a lot of time to deliver.
Sure. And what sort of, obviously we talk about the bespokeness of this bridge, it's very unique. It must have its own unique challenges.
It absolutely does. So, I mean, this is a bridge that we use. We move trains over, we use road transport, and we lift. And quite often, you know, normal structures don't have that lifting mechanism, and that's a bit that makes it quite different and quite a challenge engineering. It is a great, you know, great piece of British engineering behind us, but it is a difficult structure to maintain and operate.
And you can see pictures of that work that's taking place within Joe's story at Kent Online.
Kent Online reports.
Investigations are now underway to find out what caused a huge fire that broke out at a business in Ramsgate. Fire crews have now left K Laundry Limited in Northwood Road after spending 31 hours tackling the flames. People as far away as Deal reported seeing the thick black smoke. For a second year in a row, the local authority in Medway is headed for an overspend. Despite the council's budget increasing to £441 million, are on course to blow that by £16 million, largely due to rising costs in children and adult services. This is the first round of budget monitoring, and the council has until February next year to bring spending down. Kent Online's been told work should start on a 4,000-home estate in Canterbury next year. Mountfield Park is to the south of the city and was finally given planning permission in 2022, following a number of delays and objections. Well, infrastructure should start to be built in January. The whole thing is expected to cost £200 million. Meantime, a campaign group opposed to a 5,000-home development in Lenham has had to abandon its High Court legal challenge. Save Our Heathlands was hoping to secure a cost protection order which would cap its liability for costs against the developers. However, it's been refused, and members of the group say they can't risk having to pay tens of thousands of pounds to get the scheme thrown out. Next today, Tonbridge MP Tom Tugendhat has officially put his name forward to replace Rishi Sunak as leader of the Conservative Party. The Shadow Security Minister says he wants to be the next Tory Prime Minister. He's indicating he'd be prepared to leave the European Convention on Human Rights if it was necessary to secure UK borders.
Well, my pitch is very simple, which is that we have, as we've seen over the last few years, lost the trust of the British people because we failed to deliver. And we need to focus on delivering for the British people. And over the last few years, in fact, over the last 20 or so years, I've demonstrated that I'm able to deliver on operations in the military in Afghanistan and Iraq. I'm able to deliver standing up, as you very kindly interviewed me, about standing up to authoritarian dictators, whether in Russia or China or Iran, which, as you know, got me sanctioned, or whether it's as security minister here in the United Kingdom at Cabinet, making sure that we keep the British people safe. And that track record of delivery is absolutely essential to rebuilding trust, to make sure that we're in a position to offer the British people a real choice at the next election, and a choice between a Conservative government that's able to prioritise the interests of the British people and whatever it is that Labour decide to offer.
James Cleverly is currently the only other person to enter the race. The winner will be announced in November.
Kent Online reports.
Concerns have been raised for the safety of rough sleepers who've pitched their tents next to a busy dual carriageway in Canterbury. Several people have been camping out along the Ring Road at Pin Hill and Station Road East for the last few weeks. Homelessness charity Catching Lives says it shows how desperate people are as numbers increase. It's claimed there have been several near misses as some drivers go on the wrong way down a one-way street in Maidstone to try and avoid a 10-foot deep sinkhole. A diversion was set up after it appeared in Hackney Road earlier this month. Well, Southern Water say work is underway to assess the scale of a collapsed sewer before repairs can begin. More than 19,000 children in Medway have already signed up to activities in the towns this summer. Medway Go kicks off on Monday and will run for 4 weeks of the school holidays. It's aimed at 5 to 16-year-olds, and parents of youngsters who normally get free school meals won't be charged. Councillor Theresa Murray is the deputy leader in Medway. She's been telling me more about it.
Medway Go is a programme that's specifically designed for those with special needs and families on low income, but other people can join in the programme as well for a small fee. So it's free to our target groups, and there's a small fee for activities for other people.
And give us an idea about some of the things that young people could be getting up to.
Well, we've already got 19,000 places taken up, and the programme runs from the 29th of July until the 23rd of August. So there are 4 weeks of exciting things going on. We've got arts and crafts, we've got sports, we've got special takeover days like at Ninja Warrior, where the whole facility is given over to children and families from Medway. There are things like swimming, and don't forget, some of that will be taking place in our lovely new sports centre. We've got camping activities, we've got performing arts activities, and even computer coding. So I hope that there's something for everyone.
We often hear young people say, oh, there's nothing to do and I'm bored. But I mean, that can't really be an excuse in Medway this summer, can it?
No, I don't think so. And remember, lots of those facilities are open to everybody who are not part of the programme as well. And we'll be promoting the events and things that we've got going on, and including things that go on through our youth service, where we've got the computer bus coming through and doing lots of things, where people can go, a gaming bus, people can go on and do lots of games. And we've got all of our lovely green spaces for people and families to go out into at low cost to enjoy a healthy walk and a picnic. So I really want people to have fun. I want them to do that as at low cost as possible, because I know that this is a tough time for families. And I want people to feel that the council is there for them, wanting them to have a good time.
Now, speaking specifically about cost, obviously for an awful lot of families, as you mentioned there, it is a struggle at the moment. And one thing that could be a particular worry is food over the summer holidays, particularly if their children normally get free school meals. Just tell us what the deal is with Medway Go as far as food provision is concerned.
I'm really pleased to say that for every activity, there's a hot meal provided every day. And we have a hot meal, a hot healthy meal, because the nutritional values of hot meals is often higher, and we can ensure that it's really balanced. So everybody that comes along will get a free hot meal. And so, as you say, those who have been entitled to free school meals will be prioritised for these activities, and that'll be there for them to have. And actually, some of the activities are healthy cooking activities as well, so people can learn about food and healthy cooking, and they can do that as a family. One of the things that was said to me when I was talking to parents and carers about the programme that we had over Easter was that they'd like more things that whole families can do. So we have tried to accommodate that as much as possible, because I understand that perhaps for some people it's a bit of a struggle taking one child to one activity and one to another. So we have tried to make that possible and get some sort of all-age fun mixed in with the other stuff that we're doing as well, and to get some subsidised bus travel. So hopefully we've covered all the bases as much as we can.
Meantime, our sister radio station KMFM is continuing to collect food as part of our Tons of Tins campaign to ease food poverty across the whole of Kent this summer. go.medway.gov.uk is where you can find out more information about the events in Medway. And if you've booked a place but can't make it, you're advised to let bosses know. A replica of an historic Spanish ship is going to be docked in Ramsgate for the next few days. The Galleon is based on vessels that sailed between the 16th and 18th centuries. Drag queen River Medway is getting an honorary degree from the University of Greenwich today. She became famous after dressing up as a Thomas Waghorn statue in Chatham on the third season of RuPaul's Drag Race. She's since become a local LGBTQ plus advocate. 5 restaurants in Kent have been named by the Good Food Guide as some of the country's best. You can find the full list by heading to the website today. And finally, this is one of our most read stories. A royal helicopter landed on a playing field as the Duke of Kent visited the county's Hornby Hobbies factory. The late Queen's cousin was invited to the Margate-based firm, which includes the brands Skelextric, Airfix and Corgi in its portfolio, as the company celebrates its 70th anniversary.
Kent Online Sports.
Football, and the Gillingham boss has praised their new signing, Marcus Wiley, the 25-year-old who's given up a job teaching in a special needs school to join the Gills from non-league Enfield Town, where he played in Tuesday night's friendly against Dartford, which the Gills won 4-0. Let's hear then from Mark Bonner.
Well, everyone loves him, to be fair. He's one that I don't know so well, but Kenny Hess have spent a lot of time obviously scouring games and leagues. His goal record last year was excellent. His story's a good one. He's late into football. We've found a little pattern of that so far. So there's a real hunger about him. And it's a big jump, isn't it? Going from he quit his job last week and joined us. He trained yesterday in a bit of a small little session. And he's gone and played a game for us, leading the game as an number nine, with zero really idea of how we play and what we do and everything else. So, like, great for him to just play and us to see him in this environment. I think it'll be a big adjustment for him going full time, big step for him to take. But he's got speed, he can run, he's sharp in and around the box, he can score different types of goals. So, certainly one that we think's got lots of potential, and looking forward to seeing how much we can help him.
Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can also get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, you just need to head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the site today, don't forget to check out our latest Eat My Words food review.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.